What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another episode of the Curfew Boys. Don't we got a special one for you tonight? But before we get there, if you like what you hear, you can follow us on Instagram, now called X. You can follow us on Facebook.
Wait a minute. Isn't Twitter called X?
What did I say? I said Instagram.
You said Instagram is called X.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Okay. We're not editing that.
Nope.
Let's restart that. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, now called X, Facebook, and TikTok. You can follow us and subscribe on our YouTube channel if you want to see our beautiful faces. And please comment and rate us. This is the only way we can get better. We accept anything, good or bad.
Wow, join the conversation.
Just we'll be off tonight, but it's okay. It's funny. I'm always off. But anyways, boys, let me introduce to you guys. GQ Chris is in the house tonight with a beard.
Hey, no.
What's happening?
I
haven't seen you with the beard in a long time.
This is a week. This is literally me just not shaving for a week. I don't know what the hell is going on. It's coming. It's growing faster. It's getting scary.
I'm loving it. And that's good content for Adri because he's going to say something after listening to this moment. But anyway, we got Fireman Sam in the house.
Hey now.
And I'm looking forward to our,
What's Adri going to say? What do you think he's going to say?
I'm not going to say this here on
recording. Oh, okay. Oh, geez. Okay. That bad. Huh? Oh, okay. Sounds good.
He always has a comment to say about me and,
That's true. Yeah. Right. That is true.
Think about it. Think about it.
I think I have thought about it, and I think I know what he's gonna say, and we could comment this off air, and I probably guessed correctly.
I think you did. We got myself tonight, Anxious Anthony, in the house, and I'm looking forward to in about 5 minutes we have someone joining us.
Hopefully, he better.
Hopefully, he better.
If he doesn't, I'll be very mad at him. I'll be very upset if Joey doesn't show up.
So. I'm looking forward to having him on the show because it's been a while. I haven't been on the show with him. Guys, what's happening? How's everything? How's life?
I'm happy the bye week is over.
Yes, I've been missing hockey tonight.
Things are good, but I'm happy the bye week is over. The All-Star weekend wasn't terrible. I thought it was better than last year, but it still wasn't.
It's not this. I agree with you. I didn't fully watch it. I didn't watch the Saturday, Sunday. I only watched a bit of the replay of the highlights of the skill competition. Mm-hmm. It was entertaining compared to the last couple of years. But I think we had this conversation in the past, and maybe last year's season with the Curfew Boys or the year before, where we debated about the All-Star game, how it's changed.
Yeah.
I wish I can go back to the good old days. The East versus West.
East-West, man. Absolutely. I totally agree with that.
There was such a... I know they're having fun right now, right? It's entertaining for the kids. You know, all these young, growing athletes, they watch this to see the skills and all that stuff. And again, don't get me wrong, it is fun to see this. But back then, there was such a rivalry between the East and the West.
There was pride.
Exactly. Like now you see the games and they're just having fun. They're laughing at each other. They're making fun of each other. There's no contact. There was never contact. I get it. But they're just playing for the fun of it, shits and giggles. But
Remember when they used to play for home ice advantage?
Yes.
Winner of the All-Star game would play for, and we might be repeating this year after year after another All-Star weekend. It's just, I know we talked about this in the previous episode with Zook, but Ant, since you're here, it's I'm interested in hearing your take, but the boys are there to have fun, first of all, but they're, when you were selected to go to the All-Star game, it was a proud moment for you and your career because it kind of set the, how can I say this? It really cemented your legacy within the league as one of the top players in the NHL. Now, I feel like not that the players are taking it for granted, but it's I don't know. I feel like there's the lack of pride. Like going to the All-Star game, if you got selected, it means you earned it. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, well, we need to have one representative per team. And it's like, yeah, sure.
Who's gonna get the most entertainment? Who is the most skillful player? You're right. Back in the day, the league chose someone who deserved it. Who's been having a good season and, you know, making it to the team was, like you said, such an honor, such a pride to be there.
Like, I think they lost that when they selected the year they selected John Scott to go to the All-Star game, where it was like a lot of fans voting. It's like and as fun as that was to see, and like the guys had fun with it, it was a bit of a joke. Like, they haven't really done that, but like when you get the fans voting, I don't know.
No, it's
pure, I'm not against it, but I don't like the way.
No, it's entertainment now. It's strictly entertainment. Exactly. Look, you saw, you know, sorry, I know Chris, you have a lot to say because you've been quiet, but look, you know, you had Justin Bieber, who was the coach, who was with that fur fucking jacket. I don't know what the fuck he was trying to do, but it's only for TV ratings. It's no more about the sport.
But the NHL needs that, though.
Yes.
The NHL kind of, look, there's obviously no comparison, but look what Taylor Swift is doing with the NFL. And I get it. It's apples and oranges. I get it. But in a hockey market like Toronto, when you have a big international pop star like Justin Bieber, who's a huge Maple Leafs fan, loser, you know what I mean? Like, I was actually, as much as I dislike Justin Bieber, I was actually okay with his presence. Will Arnett, Michael Bublé, and forgive me, I forgot her name, but she's drop dead gorgeous. Michael Bublé on shrooms was the best thing ever, though, I have to say. It was probably the best interview that the NHL's ever gotten from a non-hockey player. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was hilarious, but at the same time, too, it's like, oh, my God. Like, not what are they doing, but it's like, Jesus. But it was funny. I thought that was entertaining. And again, you know, you're trying to bring celebrities that are part of the Toronto area. It's to attract. It's to one way or another try to put the NHL on the map within North America compared to the other sports. But it's obviously not there. Having said that,
back in the day, you know,
what's more popular though, the NHL All-Star or the Pro Bowl?
NHL All-Star. In my opinion, and I'm an NFL fan,
But dude, who watches the Pro Bowl? To be honest,
I don't think anybody. There's the Grammys right now. I'd be watching that more than the Pro Bowl.
That's so funny. We have it on our TV right now.
But just to say, Chris, I want to hear your thoughts. But I'm not dissing what they're trying to do. I get it's a business, but that's what bothers me now. This generation, this world that we're living in. What life has become, you know. Back then, we were watching these sports because it was our comfort, you know, place to go watch our sports, our favorite teams, and just like it's a business now, and it's all about money.
Yeah, and it's to attract sponsors. I think it's to attract sponsors.
It's for ratings, and it's taking away from the passion of the sport. That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah,
it's taking away the passion.
Yeah.
Back then, like I said, I know I'm repeating myself and I'm going to end this topic, but East versus West back then, they were playing for the home ice advantage, but they were also playing for the pride of their division, right? Like you had the East guys versus the West guys, and even though they were having fun on the ice, they were actually trying to win that game. It wasn't like you see now where they're just scoring goals
and 5-on-5 too. It's like
5-on-5.
You have Owen Nolan pointing. I'm gonna snipe on you on this breakaway right here. Like, yeah, there were iconic moments. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a business now, and I find all of sports is becoming too much of a business thing.
Yeah,
1,000%. Again, for money. If I was an owner, I'd say fuck the fans, and you know, business is business.
Jesus.
But no, if I was at that position, but I'm not. I'm a fan, and I miss the passion. I miss the love of the sport. Anyways. Chris, anything before we get to our plenty. Beloved Habs?
I'll just try to keep it short, even though I never do, really. You mentioned, let's say, what Taylor Swift is doing to football and what some of these celebrities did for the All-Star game this weekend. Like, to be honest, I want to go towards the football route too, because I think it's a better explanation of how I genuinely feel. I don't give a shit. Like, I genuinely don't give a shit. I want to watch, if I'm going to watch football or if I'm going to watch whatever respective sport, I really don't care. I just want to see the best possible product on the field. And at this point in time, because of Taylor Swift's input and how much business she's bringing in, we're literally starting to question the authenticity of the game and whether or not, like, don't get me wrong, Toronto having everything this year, the All-Star game, they've been said to lose year after year and everything like that. I don't know. I don't want to suspect and start saying, well, they're going to start cheating to get to the top. Like, that's a whole other conversation in itself. But the reason why I'm bringing all that up is back in the 90s and the early 2000s, we were obviously hungry to know what was going on behind the scenes. But I think the behind the scenes has also led to a significant insight into what's going on off ice, and what's going on off ice is becoming too important. And what's going on outside of becoming a better hockey player or better athlete is having too much impact. I think one of the beautiful things about the game of hockey, and some people might say it's one of their biggest downfalls, but Don Cherry, you know, I miss him. I miss his take. I miss his tougher view of the sport.
Me too.
Remember when the players used to be coming in, and it's going to kind of come around full circle. What annoys me when I see somebody like Justin Bieber and his stupid jacket that you mentioned. Don Cherry on a Saturday night used to take
he would have ripped him.
Guys coming in. No, but he used to showcase the guys coming in suits,
yeah,
ties and jackets.
Tradition. Tradition.
Yeah, like, you guys are class. You guys are showing class through and through to all the little kids who are watching you show up to the rink on Saturday night. It's business. You see Justin Bieber coming through classless on his phone in a giant, I don't know, mushroom.
Yeah, but he's not a hockey player, so that's okay.
He's not a hockey player, but, like, I know that it takes, like, I look at PK Subban's character and what he brought to the game and how he brought that kind of spice and how he brought that interest to, like, and character to the game. But I feel as though now we're straying away from the game. We're straying away from that kind of almost hidden what's going on behind the scenes, that hatred that's going on behind the scenes. Everybody's too buddy-buddy. Everybody's too relaxed, all the way down to what the freaking clothes they're wearing to the rink. Like, it's time to get a little bit more serious. And it's time, you know, I think Spitting Chicklets podcast also touched upon it. Hockey is getting a little bit tougher once more. We're seeing a little bit more fighting. We're seeing a little bit more hitting. But I hope it continues in that direction, because, like, the All-Star weekend, to conclude, the All-Star weekend, I barely turned on my TV. I wanted to see what Nick Suzuki did, and I still haven't really found any highlights of what he's done and how he played. He had some good chemistry with Boone Jenner. That was about it. But other than that,
I couldn't give a shit. But again, like,
Matthews getting – Austin Matthews getting the MVP. Everybody's saying, DeBrincat got robbed.
Yeah,
he played
better.
He had, like, that Homer shit. Like, I don't want it to be strictly entertainment. Give it to the guys who are fighting for it, and not only fighting for it, but who deserve it. And now it's
you couldn't say it any better, Chris. I think you said it right. And you concluded it perfectly. Was all our lives we wanted to see the behind the scenes. We've all said it, you know, years ago. Sam, you've always said it before.
I love behind the scenes.
No, I love it too. Don't get me wrong, but it became, now that it's out there, it's taking away from the real thing, right? Less is more. We had this debate year one with the Curfew Boys when there was that whole conversation of, should the players start dressing up like the NFL players coming to the rink with their own style? And we had this debate saying, who cares? Let them just shine. Let's do what the hell they want. At the end of the day, what it's, you know.
I don't think they should get rid of the suits, to be honest.
No, they should. No, I don't think so. I wouldn't. But I'm trying to say, less is more. them coming in black and white suits with a tie or whatever. That's it. That's all. We don't care about any drama or anything marketing behind. I get it. The business is a business. We all like to see that as fans what's going on. But you said it right, Chris. The media is focusing too much on that, which is a taking away from the sport. And that's all across the board. In NFL, in hockey, Taylor Swift, all you, everything. I don't mind having the behind the scenes. I love it as a fan. It's like to see, but stop focusing too much on that. But unfortunately, the media is just having the spotlight on that, which takes away from the passion on the ice. And that's where we're, that's where they're losing all the passion.
And you ask, ask yourself, I'm going to ask you both this question. Why are people talking about whether or not Travis Kelce is going to propose to Taylor Swift if they win the Super Bowl? Who gives a shit?
I don't give
it's a
shit.
It's a fucking Super Bowl.
That's what
people are waiting for. Taylor Swift.
Oh my God.
I wish her all the best. I don't wish her harm or anything like that. God bless. I hope they have a great, I hope he gets married to her and they have a great life.
Why is that the highlight of the Super Bowl? Why is that
the highlight of the Super Bowl? That's where the ratings are going to go up.
It's the Super Bowl. Yeah, it's football. It's not marriage. Get the fuck out of here.
Well, it's like Anthony said, it's for ratings and viewers.
And all these kids and newfound fans of the NFL.
All the Swifties.
Okay, they're not NFL fans, watching the game.
Yeah.
Look at the past history of ratings, okay? Everybody watches till the halftime show, and then after the halftime show, everything drops, right? Because it's all the non-football fans watching the game for A, the commercials, and then and the halftime show. Once the halftime show ends, the ratings drop hey, who gives a shit, right? Only the real fans continue watching because they want to know who the winner is. This time around, we're going to be watching, not us, but all the non-fans and newfound fans and all the Swifties are going to be watching it till the end because they want to see her face every time they mention her name or if Kelce grabs that ball. But they're also going to wait till the end. And this is rare for kids watching the sport till the end because now they want to see, like you said, it's a whole big thing. There's a whole big bet happening. There's a whole talk about.
is there a bet about Kelce proposing?
Yes.
There's no way. I'm not even joking. They bet on the Gatorade color.
They mean no they're going to bet on everything. They're going to bet on the color of tie. They're going to bet on the color of whatever that the guy is wearing.
And that's a whole other thing too. How the betting world just went up a whole other fucking level with sports, especially in Canada and Ontario.
FanDuel Canada is offering a prop
that
will propose a Swift on field after the game. The prop is running plus 1060 odds for the yes option with 55% of bets, which could be an indication that sharp bettors will quick act as the no. So if you put $100 on yes, just for fun, $100 on yes, you can leave with over $1,000 just for a guy saying yes to a proposal.
I have to talk this out with a girlfriend. We put $50 each to see if Travis Kelce is going to propose to Taylor Swift. And she has to say yes, right?
Yep.
Now, what are the odds of her saying no?
The no option opened at minus 250. This is insane. Okay, let's get to our hockey.
What are the odds that Joey Palmieri joins the show right now?
I mean,
if you were to put $100 in right now, and bet that Joey's on the show now or not now.
I'm putting $1,000 that he's coming.
Take my money.
You have access to knowing who's in the waiting room. <We're> here. I'm betting the house.
That's bad, Sam.
What's up, Joe?
What's up? Sam, that was awful.
Joey, the Rams fucking suck.
Sam gave it away.
The Rams suck. I had to say it. I just wanted to say it. I love you, Joe.
Make the playoffs.
Oh God!
I miss you, Joe. I miss
you. I miss you too.
We're barely going to get to the hockey
scenarios. How many scenarios has Ann said so far? 5? 10?
No, none. Zero. If you would show up on time, you would hear.
I told you I'd be late.
I know. Yes, you did.
No, we just finished talking about the All-Star game, and we were talking about Taylor Swift once again. That there's a bet. There's odds about her getting proposed. So if you have $100 to spare, you can win a good chunk of change if it happens, because it's running at plus 1060.
And you owe Anthony $1,000 because you jumped in right now and he bet on that.
Yeah, but
I don't know anything.
No, I didn't. No,
you're the one who said it, not me.
Actually, the bet is about you. So
before we get into all this, and I just want to, because I haven't spoken to Joy in a long time, and I just really want to hear your opinion. It's actually a serious question. Do you like, especially you, that you're a big sports fan, like you're, you know, you have a lot of passion in sports, football, soccer, Roma, whatever, all that crap. But, you know, I'm just joking. But no, seriously, what do you think? What do you think? Like, do you feel like social media, social media. Do you think all sports, not just football, not just hockey, not just soccer, all in general, that it's becoming more of a business than just the passion of it? Like with all the, you know, sponsorships and the media attention and the behind the scenes and this Taylor Swift stuff, do you feel like we're losing a lot of like passion on the ice or on the field or on the pitch more than, I don't know if I'm answering the question properly, but you can know.
Yeah, no, I got it. I think it's been a business for a very, very long time.
Yes, but now it's getting too much, I'm saying.
Maybe. I still think it's just trending towards how you're saying it, where it's more business, less passion. I don't know if it's too much. I just think it's more exposed in a way. In a sense where maybe even 10, 15 years ago, it was less exposed, but maybe people still thought this way, just we never knew about it. That's
a very good way of putting
it. I think we're players, owners, GMs, whatever. They're always thinking of it as a business, making money, but it was less visible to the public. Now it's more visible. We're seeing how it actually is happening, because we know everything that's happening from midnight to midnight the next morning on any player you want. You could probably know what they're doing.
So true.
What? Not even a player, could be a coach.
Anybody within the organizations or whoever.
Exactly. We talked about trade rumors, and I'm sure we're gonna get to that. If you wanted,
we're getting there. Yeah.
Yeah. If you wanted a trade rumor, I mean, back in the day, you'd hear it like, you know, later on a wrap up or something, or actually very old school. What I would remember, Anthony, you brought up soccer. First time I ever went to Italy, you'd find out if a player left a team, and this I'm talking when we were, you know, 12, 13, 14, back in the early 2000s, you find out if a player left the next day in the newspaper. Now it's within 30 seconds, you know, the player is gone. I've even seen a player who, this is still in soccer, a player who actually put out on social media that somebody leaked a team that was interested in him. And he said, I never even told my wife. How did this reporter know? So that's what I mean. It's like that's going on all sports. Soccer is just the example. I just think it's just because it's more exposed. It's
getting more exposed than before. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, passion.
Social media.
I won't discredit the few. There are a few that are still very passionate about the sport. I'll say more athletes than coaches, because GMs to me and owners are more about, you know, business and making money. But I think there are still few that keep that passion, whether they're young or old. But a lot of old retired athletes have said it. I saw an article today of an old athlete, again, soccer, it's been all these examples are coming from it. But if you guys remember the striker from Germany, Miroslav Klose, he's one of the most famous Germans. Yeah. He mentions like soccer today, I would never play in it. The players, they think of themselves, their social media, their contracts, or this, and then by the sixth thing they think about is the actual sport,
because their brand, it's their brand that's going to affect their contract and how much money they make. It's no longer about their skills on the ice. On the soccer field.
In any sport, right? But I can't all fault them for that. They want their brand, like Sam said. They want to make money. They need to make money.
You can
be good. Imagine you're the best player in the world and you actually don't make any money. Like,
like a guy like Jordan had a brand and he didn't give a shit about that. His focus was 1,000% on the basketball court and winning championships back
to
back.
Would have been different if he didn't have the brand? Can we say for sure? Like, he had it. I'm not saying he didn't give a shit about
I'm convinced. Like, if he never had his shoes,
I think because he had such a great and lucrative deal for his shoes, like, not that he didn't give a shit. He didn't have to not care about it, but show as much about it. It was there. So him is like, okay, I'm taking care of there. I'll, I'm going to concentrate on basketball.
Well, hold up.
He had all that pressure as a rookie that never played a single NBA game before he got those shoes.
Yeah, like,
that's a lot of pressure.
You're right, but he locked into such a great deal where guys today are looking for like a brand deal that can, you know, that can make them money besides soccer, hockey, or football or basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. Because he already had that taken care of, I don't think he needed to worry about the brand because the brand was good. He needed to just be successful in basketball. That's how I'm looking at it.
Hold up. Because I'm actually happy that Sammy brought up Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan said it very, very well. When was like the timing? Think about the timing of when he got his shoes. He had already proven himself beyond the shadow of a doubt. Now we have kids who haven't stepped foot on the pitch, rink, on the court, whatever. They have not established themselves as top-end players. But the other thing about Michael Jordan and the thing that I want to bring up, like Auston Matthews, great goal scorer. I can't take anything away from him. But if I'm one of his teammates, if I'm genuinely one of his teammates, this guy taking time to do his own branding, his own shit, his own partying. He's got a whole persona. He's hanging out with Justin Bieber. What the hell is going on the outside of everything? If I'm one of his teammates, I'm seriously questioning, you know, is this guy maybe one of the reasons that we're not so focused come playoffs? Where does this guy always go in playoffs? Whereas if you look at a guy, I'm going to say Michael Jordan, but I'm going to make a comparison between Michael Jordan and a guy like Nathan McKinnon, who's getting
Nathan McKinnon, Sidney Crosby.
Nathan McKinnon is getting pissed off that his teammates are not eating healthy food. And Michael Jordan, maybe it's not about the food, but Michael Jordan used to have such high standards for his teammates and used to push them to the limit because the most important thing, the guy was honestly borderline problematic, too competitive. The guy couldn't, he was saying, like, I couldn't fucking lose a game of dice without losing my shit. I couldn't do anything without being the best at it or without winning. And again, there was a little bit of the conversation that we had before we came
but
in.
But at the end,
it's not that fierce, like, I want to win. It's I want to make sure that I have money at the end of the career versus the guys who came before this generation were like, I don't give a shit if I'm rolling around in a wheelchair. I better have one by the time you think of a guy like Ryan Smith, who's bawling his eyes out when he's retiring with the Edmonton Oilers. That was a pure question of pride. Yeah. He hadn't won. And, you know, that was devastating for the guy. Anyways. Yeah,
no, for sure. And I want to end it on this. Back to Jordan real quick. That problematic competitive level that he had. But he said it. He's like, I wanted to win so badly, but I wanted my teammates to win with me. And that's why I pushed them the way I did.
Yeah. Cut. And he started crying. Right. He started literally crying at that point in time because he was just like,
break.
If I was a dick. Yeah, break. Exactly.
You don't want to play that way? Then don't play that way. Break.
All right.
Yeah, go at it. Go.
28 minutes in. You can maybe put in our caption if you want to skip the bullshit and get to the real talk. I know it's been a bye week for the Habs, but yet we're recording something special. Why? Because it's funny because you guys spoke about this last episode before the news was announced.
It was insane.
Crazy, right? You guys spoke about it.
Let's get it.
And yeah, Sean Monahan, wow. Because today I had a birthday party for Moana and I said Moana. Anyways, Sean Monahan traded to the Winnipeg Jets. Now we have a lot of controversy from the fans, but the real fans, the ones that
I have a lot of things to say about this.
Yeah, but like us fans who understand the sport and the rebuild and the logic behind all this, I think this was an amazing trade.
We'll see what the four of us have to say if we really have an understanding about the rebuild, if we're all on the same page, or maybe we could represent each of us represent a quarter of the Montreal Canadiens fan base within this province and around the world, hopefully. But Anthony, you think it's a great trade?
I love it.
Okay. You love it. Why?
It's just behind this, it's the brains of Hughes and Gorton. Like, this asset management with this guy is just, it's beautiful. Okay. Like, again, I think he's building this team the right way. I love Sean Monahan. He's been building his value. We all knew that he was not going to sign at the end of this year. Okay. He wasn't a player that was staying with the Montreal Canadiens. So we just got rid of him earlier for good assets, not third rounders, first rounders.
So let's just remind everybody real quick. It's very simple. Sean Monahan traded for Winnipeg's 2024 first round pick. And this one, which I found weird, but whatever, a conditional third round pick from Winnipeg in 2027. It's if they win the Stanley Cup this year.
That's a throw in.
So
yeah,
wins the Stanley Cup.
If Winnipeg wins the Stanley Cup this year, it's got to be this year. Then Montreal gets Winnipeg's 2027 third round pick.
I'd rather them not win and get a better first rounder. So
I think we could all agree on that too, Joe.
Yeah,
I definitely, as much as I'm happy for Monahan, he has a chance and I think he deserves it. The veteran like him that's been through fucking injury issues a good part of his career. I do wish him the best. And I think Winnipeg is a much better team with him. But if they lose in the first round, that pick goes between pick 17 and 2021.
And just to add for Anthony, I mean, I've read this. They're not rumors that could be 100% true. I have heard things about Monahan that he wouldn't mind to re-sign here. So if that happens, it makes it even better. We ended up actually trading Monahan twice for two first-rounders, the same player, and we got two first-rounders.
Also, look, I just want to remind everyone that we got a first-round pick for a player who only played 74 games with the Montreal Canadiens. Yeah. In year one, he played 25 games, 6 goals, 11 assists, 17 points. This time around, 49 games played, 13 goals, 22 assists for 35 points.
So this is a player we took off of Calgary's hand, and they threw us a first rounder with it.
Name me, can anybody out there, if you're listening to this, please comment. Can you name, as far back as you can go, a general manager who got a player, who brought a player to the Montreal Canadiens with a first-round pick and who took the same player and traded him and got another first-round pick? Can somebody – I don't remember Marc Bergevin doing this. I don't remember Bob Gainey doing this. I don't remember Andre Savard doing this.
Forget Habs GM, Sam. I don't remember a team doing this besides Montreal.
But like, okay, can we all agree that the Habs fans out there who are not too thrilled about this trade that went down is because they look at what Calgary got for trading Elias Lindholm? Do you guys think
further?
Before you start, Chris, let's remind everybody again, the Vancouver Canucks got Elias Lindholm for Andre Kuzmenko, Yanni Yermo, if I'm pronouncing correctly, a minor league player, Hunter Brustewicz, if I'm pronouncing that too, another minor league player. Okay, a 2024 first round pick and a 2024 fourth round conditional pick. There's a bunch of Anthony scenarios in there. That's okay. But let's be honest. They got the Calgary Flames for Elias Lindholm, got an NHL player, a young NHL player, two minor league prospects, and two draft picks. One first round and one conditional fourth round. I really think, Chris, I'm gonna pass you the puck on this. I really think Canadians fans out there that are not too thrilled about this trade are comparing these two very different situations. Go, Chris.
Yeah, 100%. So don't confuse the TSN trade bait board with what happened between Montreal's trade and Calgary's trade. I think Lindholm in himself, let's talk about injury prone. Like, Monahan has had a significant amount of injuries. I think Winnipeg is taking a potential risk on a guy like Sean Monahan, even though he's been, knock on wood, he's been healthy for the year. You're getting, I think, in Lindholm, you're getting a more impactful player. Their whole, what Calgary had to give up is respective of what they got in return. We did not have to give up nearly, or we're not giving nearly as much of a piece, a trade acquisition, as much as he is a centerman of high value and could go to a team, could go to a lot of different teams who needed that centerman position depth to go into the playoffs. It's just not the same thing. And again, it's just completely incomparable. I think Lindholm solidifies himself as even borderline second line player for Vancouver going into the playoffs. And there are other, there, like, I wanted to also get into other factors too, not necessarily just like compare the Calgary trade, but I think the most important thing that we have to realize as Montreal fans is not holding or not withholding any part of Sean Monahan's salary is probably indicative of what's to come for the trade deadline.
That's the added value.
That's 1,000% that. And that was the requirement from a lot of teams. Listen, Pierre LeBrun said it. He goes, teams will give up a first-round pick, especially if the Canadiens retain 50% of salary, and they didn't even have to do that. And they still got a first-round pick. Yeah. Like, I don't think a lot of people truly realize how great that is.
That's an asset in itself.
And it opens up a door for another trade.
Which is going to come. Before the trade deadline or by trade deadline, there's going to be a trade included with the goalie in regards to all this. I mean, look, the only negative I have for this, and again, it's only a negative now until we find out this open door that you're saying, Sam, that can lead to another trade or whatever. And if that happens, then this might fill in the gap. But without Monahan at the moment, we're missing some, like, we have a hole in the middle.
Well, Newhook is coming back. I mean, if that counts, Newhook,
Alex Newhook, sorry, he started practicing. Like, he should play tomorrow. And look, they called up Lucas Condotta. Brendan Gignac and Laval got an actual NHL contract, who I actually really think...
Did he get called up?
He automatically gets called up.
Called up, okay.
Yeah, part of their CBA is he's got an NHL contract. He automatically goes to the Canadiens. If they want to send him back down, they got to pass him through waivers again. So, yes, Santi, that leaves them a hole. But, you know, like with Suzuki, with Jake Evans, now you got Condotta that's there. Gignac might share some of the role. Newhook might play center, even though we'll see.
Biggest thing that comes out of it, in my books, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, this to me means I'm going to name two players and maybe a third or fourth guy, but that means in my books that Jake Allen or David Savard are very likely packing their bags. If you say the only other players that I would consider maybe on the move, but I think it would be 10 times more difficult, at least this season, maybe looking at a guy like Dvorak or Armia.
Not even.
Going to another
Even.
Isn't Dvorak done for the year?
He's done for the year. Yeah, they're not
going to. He's done for the year? Okay, yeah. Sorry, my bad.
It's Armia, bad on me. Armia or Allen, Chris, because even not, you said.
I don't even think Armia is in the equation. I don't even think Savard is in the equation.
I agree with Savard. Armia is an outside chance, but the likely one is Allen. So Savard is definitely out. If you can tell, if you listen to Hughes' press conference, he's definitely not been traded.
He never even had a single discussion with David Savard, and we know how open Hughes is with these situations. No, I think they might try for Pearson. I think they're gonna try to trade Tanner Pearson for. If it's not going to be a draft pick and like a third round, fourth round pick, maybe a minor league player that could help out Laval right now, because they haven't been winning ever since Arbor Jacka got called up. I don't know if it's a coincidence or anyways, I'm just saying, I really think it comes down to Jake Allen or Tanner Pearson, and one contract or the other. Those are contracts that you can retain 50%, and it's going to cost the other team not a lot.
I think it'd likely be Allen because he has a bigger contract.
I think so too. But the fact that Allen has one more year, teams might be a bit afraid. The cap is going up, so there could be some consideration. Yeah. Tanner Pearson, I personally don't know. Even if we get nothing for him, whatever. We got a veteran.
I thought he was a first-line player.
Yeah, sure.
Well, somebody here said it.
So, yes, the Cantu's press conference is actually very important because obviously he's going to show up after making this trade. But quite a few things he said during that press conference that made me very happy in where he's going with this, in the direction of this team. And the fact that he said, we did not retain salary because it leaves us open to retain another contract. That to me right there, it means he's got another fucking trade coming. Yeah. 1,000%. He's got another trade coming, 1,000%. Okay. What else did he say? That again, if the option of re-signing Monahan was there, they probably wouldn't have traded, but they cannot see in the foreseeable future an opportunity to bring him back. So I don't think Sean Monahan is coming back. There's at least four prospect contracts that are going to start next year. Right now, the Canadians, with the signing of Gignac, have only room for five other contracts. There's Philip Machar that's coming, Owen Beck that's coming, there's David Reinbacher that's coming. You still got to sign Lane Hudson, okay? There could be Jared Davidson, that Anthony you like. You still have Arber Jacki, that's a restricted free agent. You have Justin Barron, that's a restricted free agent. You have Jesse Ylönen, that's a restricted free agent. Sure, you're going to lose the Chris Weidman contracts. You're going to lose the Tanner Pearson contracts. I get it. There might be one or two guys in Laval they're not going to resign that are in their late 20s. But on the overall, like, this is the best they could have gotten. I don't think they could have gotten anything better than this.
No, not
from the Bruins, probably not from Colorado. They, like, I'm looking at those teams, like, Kent Hughes knew the market and he knew it right away.
And I prefer Winnipeg anyways. To me, they're more of a chance to get eliminated earlier than Bruins and
well said. Yes, Colorado. I agree.
There's a higher likelihood that they get eliminated, but that's another thing too. I did not want to be playing into one of our rival teams or a team that we hate, giving them a piece that would allow them to advance. So even Toronto, they were bringing it up that Toronto was maybe inquiring on Monahan. Yeah, I'm happy. I'm really happy with where he went. And I love your point, Joey. Thank you for that. Not only is there a higher likelihood that they lose quickly, they just have a bad record of losing and not performing in the playoffs, but they also didn't go to a rival team. And God bless Hughes for what he did. And at the end of the day, to come full circle, once again, two first-round picks for a guy who was apparently supposed to be a problem, helped a lot with the development of our players. Mm-hmm. We got him for practically nothing and gave him – we got a whole ton for him, and we got, again, a whole ton for him.
A lot of fans are upset that they didn't get a prospect.
That's the other thing too that I want to mention. We had this discussion in the group chat. Mm-hmm. I feel as though a lot of Montreal Canadiens fans, and it's just the nature of living in this city, there are fans, and we've clearly had this discussion amongst ourselves. There are fans who know their hockey, who are looking at this trade, who are looking at, you know, have the foresight to say, okay, what's coming? Who's coming up? What kind of contracts are going to have to get renegotiated? What kind of space are we going to have? This, that, and the other. I have a feeling that a lot of people are looking at just the scoreboard and saying, you know, Sean Monahan has been producing recently. He's one of our top point scorers. And he's doing great for Montreal this season. Why are we trading him? And they're throwing their – not why are we trading them? They're throwing their hands up in protest to say, why again, every single time that we have a good player, we trade him away, without having any idea of the implications of him not coming back, of what we could get in return for him, what it means to have an additional first-round pick. Are we going to have more bargaining power? Will we be able to move up in the draft? Will we be able to go make a trade for a potential other player or young player to come in, much like Newhook? How do you think Doc came along?
Well, there you go.
Come get informed before you scream and protest and put your arms in the air. Come listen to a few individuals who are taking the time to analyze and break it down and justify why these trades are going through. And at the end of the day, there's a reason why Jeff Gorton and Kent Hughes are sitting behind that desk and why you're going to fucking Burger King every morning to scrape burgers off and feed it to people. These GMs, I said it. We had this discussion this weekend, Sammy. Oh,
okay. Chill. No, but just chill. Hold on a sec. Because here's the thing. Any GM that would give a top prospect for Sean Monahan is getting fired. Sean Monahan does not get you a prospect. It's draft picks that get you prospects. Like you said, Chris, you said it perfectly. That's how we got Doc. That's how we got Newhook. It's through these draft picks.
No one understands that retaining that salary could lead to getting a prospect from somewhere else. That's what a lot of these fans don't understand. And to answer your question, Chris, all these fans that are complaining are the fans that just watch the sport and don't look at the other stuff after that. They just tune in at 7 p.m., close it at 10 p.m.
Yeah.
They look at the scores, who scored the goal they've been seeing. And they probably don't know who Sean Monahan is, and only recently because he's been putting all these points. They're like, oh, Monahan, 5 points this game. He's amazing. No, and now he's out. They're like, what the fuck?
It's not that, Anthony. It's unfortunately there's – I'm telling you guys, please go buy this book. Please go buy this book. I'm telling you, okay? It's so funny how we're having this discussion, and I'm at a chapter now where they said, and I think I showed you the pictures. It's so true that the last 20 years, almost every single Stanley Cup champion had at least 9 to 10 players they drafted. Put aside what Vegas did, and even Florida, the way they built their team. It's they're both an anomaly. They don't happen all the fucking time, okay? And in that chapter, it says, too, sometimes you get these players that got drafted maybe 2-3 seasons ago. It's just not working out with their team, whatever, and you trade for those by sending them other draft picks. You don't send a past player for a future. You don't take – sorry, not that you don't send a – you don't take a past player into your team and give away a future player. You don't do that. That's the worst thing you can do. That's why Sam Pollock and the Montreal Canadiens in the 70s won all those cups. And that's why fucking Chicago won those cups. LA won all those cups. Pittsburgh won all those cups. Okay? They acquired those guys. They acquired some of the best veterans that they did their pro scouting on. Felt like they could work with these young players and these young
Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay, best example. Tampa Bay is the best example. What helps with them? They have one of the best developing programs in the entire league. But so did Detroit. That's why they were winning. This is what people, you got to understand, is that you get these draft picks. You really think Kent Hughes and Gordon are not going to try to flip these things? Chris, I know you were saying this. You and I were in the same ballpark, but you were about to say some shit that was going to get us in trouble, and I had to stop you there. So
it's more on the lines of, you got to dig into these things. And I know that you want to have something to talk about. I know Montreal, it's a birthright to be a fan of this team. And there are some people who are very intense with their passion for this team. But just because you feel the need to talk about this team and feel like you're part of the conversation, don't always revert back to frustration. Don't revert back to criticizing, because there's a lot more strategy and a lot more to it than what meets the eye. And that's it. The fans who are protesting this trade, you have no idea how much good Kent Hughes did. So for the love of God, will you stop making us true fans feel ashamed? Please.
I feel like Chris is going to cry.
Yeah, he is.
I'm going to flip the fucking desk is what I'm going to do.
There's a single tear running down.
You guys probably mentioned it, but everyone should know. Any Hav fan, like Anthony mentioned, that's looking after the game from 7 to 10, everybody knows that this pick will probably not be selected by Montreal. It's going to be traded. I'd say it's like more than 50% that this pick of Winnipeg is going to be traded when draft day comes, or even before draft day comes. So
I think so too. And it makes perfect sense because, listen, at the end of the day, we could draft all these players. We won't be able to sign them. We won't. It's a clear, obvious thing. It's impossible. We have 22. Now, here, let's make it 23 draft picks within the next 2-3 drafts coming up. We get it. But this is how you get to that.
Kirby Doc.
We can't ask for a better example. Kirby Doc and Alex Newhook. The Canadians built their defense core. They're probably going to try to find a veteran here and there. They still have Savard. They'll see. They'll still have Matheson, but they might see eventually. Yeah, they're going to bring it up. Now with all these draft picks, I'm putting every dollar I have here, Anthony, back to betting. I put every dollar I have. They're going and try to get these young, established already NHL players.
I've been saying
they're going to target forwards most likely.
A Zegras. Yes, a forwards, absolutely. Maybe a Zegras. Maybe a Kent Johnson. I don't know. I'm just trying to name these two players off the top of my head.
It's funny how you guys are all on my bandwagon when Joey used to make fun of me in my scenarios. I've been saying since the beginning that Hughes is going to go after established NHL players and established prospects. It's happening. And all jokes aside, I know, Joey, you were bugging me before, whatever. But it's the smart way of and I know you asked the question.
Smart way of building a team.
But let's go back to the first question you asked at the beginning of this episode. Well, not the beginning of this episode, when we started talking about the Habs. You had said, where do we see the rebuild stage at this point? I think we all have a different opinion now compared to what we had discussed at the beginning of the season. I think, I don't know how to, like, where I, let me phrase this properly. I don't know. I don't think we're rebuilding. Sorry, let's start over. We're rebuilding, but in a smarter and faster way.
Yeah, we're still in the rebuild.
No, 100%.
Yeah.
Argue maybe not faster. We're in
maybe what, smarter. Maybe smarter. I definitely think this is smart. Listen,
but hold on.
Anthony, I got to follow up.
I think
my
faster is we're not depending on these projections of these prospects that we're drafting to build.
Well, they kind of are. Yeah, they kind of are. They're
But then you're getting a player like Newhook and Doc that you're just trying to fast forward a little bit. That's what I'm trying to say.
Sure. Absolutely.
We're not waiting for all our drafts to get to their point, to their of their peak of their career. We're already getting them on earlier. That's what I mean by faster.
Sure. Yes, but they're still taking the. For the first time in a long time, the Montreal Canadiens are putting a team together way different than any other fucking GM 100%. I've ever seen. Way different than. But then we got some people that are like, well, they've been rebuilding since the last time they won the cup. But they've been doing the same thing since they won the cup, and it didn't work.
No, they're just doing it like we've been trying to rebuild since the Gainey days, right? And they just never called it rebuild. They never called it rebuild.
Just fucking flush everybody and here, let's bring a whole new set of players. That wasn't even a rebuild.
And I said this from the beginning. This, and I know I don't want to repeat it, but we have to because we're in this position of what we're seeing with this team and all these fans second guessing what Hughes and Gorton are doing. We're finally building, like, look at Edmonton and Toronto, okay? How wrong they did this, right? I had this conversation with someone today. McDavid might not ever win the Stanley Cup. Matthews might not win the Stanley Cup ever in his career. And I'm not saying that because they suck. I actually like Matthews. I actually like McDavid. And I would feel fucking bad if they never win. It's unfortunate for talented players like that never win. Right, like imagine playing your whole life.
They just need to leave Toronto and Edmonton. If they go somewhere else, I'll be happy.
But my point, what I'm my point I'm trying to say is okay. That who what?
Edmonton? What's wrong?
No,
but they're not.
I don't want another Canadian team to win it. I get it, but
sorry.
I'm just saying that they did it wrong. Right, they're putting all their money on assets and trying to build. And I've said
we'll
this
see
many
what
times.
We'll see what Edmonton about being
now. They're finally changing it up. At the beginning, they weren't doing it right. All those number one picks, and where did they go? Nowhere, right?
There's only McDavid that's left, and then Draisaitl at number three.
No, Nugent Hopkins.
Oh yeah, sure. I forgot about it.
But you would think that after all those number one picks, you would have a superstar team, and you don't. You know what I mean? What I'm trying to say is that
they're too top heavy. That's the problem with the same thing with Toronto. Too top heavy.
Lack of chemistry, and I've said this from the beginning. A team that has, let's go back to the era of no salary cap, the New York Rangers, the most richest team on the ice, and they couldn't win, right? Because they had
all, all the old guys. They had all the old guys. That's why.
What I'm trying to say, when you have too many talent players together, it's you would think that it's, you know, you're having the – no, but you would
look, think that – I get what you say, but look at the 2002 Detroit Red Wings. Just look at that roster.
Yes, but they built a chemistry together, right? They started young. It wasn't just a bunch of players –
Well, it was still the same core of like the again players they drafted: Fedorov, Yzerman, Lidstrom.
That's what I'm trying to say, right?
Sure. Yes, I
Sam, did. Did Colorado win the year they got Solani and Kuria?
Negative. No.
No. Right. Nope. That's a team where that's a good example for Anthony, where they had like Forsberg, Sakic, Tange, Hayduk.
I don't think I don't know if Tange was there yet. I think Tange came a little bit later.
Really? I thought he was there.
Yeah. Oh, no, wait a minute. You're right, because he won the cup. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Sorry. Yeah.
They go out, they acquire two heavy superstars in Korean Solani that lit it up in Anaheim, and they went to playoffs, nothing. They were literally the best team. I remember that. That top six.
Yeah, I remember.
Tremendous.
My point being is that you got to, and the way Gorton and Hughes is doing this,
a winning culture.
Right. You're building that winning culture from scratch. You're building young players who don't have any experience whatsoever, but have the talent, but zero experience. And then you're building your team together, like building a family together. And then when you get to that point, that 3-4 year mark, where you play together, you established the experience, you guys have full of talent, you know how to play with each other, you know how to, it's like a family, a brotherhood, right?
Yeah.
You need to get to that point. And that's how you win games. Talent with chemistry. The problem with Toronto and the problem with chemistry with Edmonton, for example, and you know your Colorado example, so much talent, but zero chemistry. Why? Because you have a bunch of hotheads who have the biggest salaries, think they're the best of the world, but they just can't play together.
Well, it's not just that, too. Toronto can't find key pieces to...
They have no chemistry. They don't know how to play together.
I wouldn't say chemistry.
They don't have depth. They don't have depth. They don't have depth within the forwards group. They don't have great defense. They got no goalie. Like Edmonton's defense is getting better, especially with Evan Bouchard. And because of that, Stuart Skinner's playing better. Now the question is, can they carry that into the playoffs? It's mental tough. You know what, Anthony? I think I'm not saying you're confusing something. I think mental toughness plays a huge impact on some of these guys.
The Stanley Cup run for the Montreal Canadiens was all mental toughness. Dude, they were trying to win for Price and Weber.
Not just that, dude. Totally. But the amount of traveling they were doing compared to any other team in those playoffs, like that was a level of adversity. The injuries that they were sustaining. You know what, Anthony? Maybe not chemistry is the word you're looking for. I think mental toughness. I think that's what Toronto, teams like Toronto, a team like Edmonton, I think that's what they lack. That's one big thing they lack. Like it's deep down inside. Like here's the thing now. And more as I read books like this, you hear analysts talk, you hear stories of past players, what they went through to win the cup and all that. Listen, do you need a bit of luck? Yes. Your best players are going to be your best players, no matter whether they're forward, defense, goalie. They're going to be the best players. The role players are going to do the role. Blah 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 blah. Okay. Part of it, you need to be lucky to be good, and need to be good to be lucky. Number one. Number two, the healthiest team wins. I'm convinced. The healthier the team, the more chances they are of winning. And three, it's the fucking mental toughness. If you can tough it out mentally, and going back to Jordan, what was that? It was that mental toughness. I think it goes for all sports. That's what it is now, especially now more than ever, where sports psychology plays a huge role into the overall game of these players. Mental toughness, man. I think, Anthony, the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Edmonton Oilers, at least for now, what we've seen for the past couple of years, the lack of mental toughness to go through that next round and to win these important games.
I'm not going to disagree one slight bit with you. I agree with you on all fronts. But I think there's something that Anthony brought up that really made me think and reflect. If I were to ask myself, what are the Montreal Canadiens? What are the things that are remaining before the Montreal Canadiens are genuinely going to play for a cup? I think there's three, maybe four, depending on the development of a player. Number one, you said it earlier in the episode, all of our defense, there will not be us going to make any trades for any defensemen. We just need time. So time is number one. We need all of our draft picks. Like, we have the Rheinbackers and Hudsons and Mayus. I think those are three defensemen who are going to come in, who are going to have a huge impact. That is purely time. That's time alone.
Yeah.
Number two is getting rid of Joey, myself. We've jumped on this. I don't know how many times. We have to get rid of the bad contracts. That's going to take at least another 2 years.
Yeah.
Number three,
the brand that's going to be for the winning culture.
Yeah. Number three is going to be bringing in at least one star player. The Montreal Canadiens, beyond the shadow of a doubt, are missing one star, borderline superstar player up front. Mm-hmm. And even if we draft them this year,
doesn't have to be up front. I think Lee Hudson is your superstar.
No. Hold up. Anthony, there has to be one. They're missing up front one.
Would be good too.
And star Chris, forward. It's key to me. To me, has talent. Talent wise, he has to be better than Suzuki and Caulfield.
Joey, bravo, because that's exactly what I'm thinking. We need to have one superstar forward. You know, we talk about the All-Star weekend. We need one of those guys who's going to be getting picked on one of those respective teams with the first three picks because they are that good. And the last thing in the fourth and half, you're halfway through, is goaltending. And I think when Jacob Fowler is truly going to come in and be potentially dominant, it could be Sam Montembeau. I don't want to play the goalie guessing game because the goalie guessing game is probably the biggest one. But what, Anthony, I want to go back to your point and what I think so exciting about it and what I'm realizing more than any team across the board in most cities across the, across the league. How long do you guys think that it's going to take before Rheinbacher and Hudson and Mayu are in this lineup? 2, maximum 3 years. All three of those guys are there.
I think next year, well, depending how Lane Hudson plays, we might see him play a couple of games just the same way Sean Farrell did last year. Again, depending the lineup next year, I think Joey and I, we discussed this, but I wouldn't be surprised if I saw Lane Hudson start in Laval. But if he has a dominant camp, like really dominant, like if Victor Mete can make it out of camp. That wasn't an attack, but a joke towards you. Like, I really, seriously, like, Mete had a decent camp, and just to think that Lane Hudson, I think, is 100 times better than Victor Mete. I'm no disrespect to anybody. I just think so.
Chris, I don't want you to push it further.
Chris, they're going to send, again, I think Rheinbacher needs to have a really good camp to make the team. I don't think he will just yet. Put him in Laval, it's fine. Mayu is going to fight for a spot. It's going to come down between him and Justin Barron. It all depends what they do with Justin Barron's contract. Do they re-sign him? Do they trade him? That's going to depend too. Let's go ahead and safely assume Justin Barron is coming back. Mayu is going to be fine for a spot. Mayu is going to be a call-up next year.
Okay, so at the end of the day, and this is my theory, within the next three seasons, all of those three guys are going to be bona fide NHL defensemen.
Yeah.
Our guys up top, the Suzukis, the Caulfield, Kirby Dach, Slafkovsky, Newhook, all of the core that we have right now, not counting that superstar or our very strong star forward coming in, all those guys are going to be kind of entering their prime or at least pretty damn solid in their respective positions. We have to clear out those. I say in 3 years, I think we're going to go from like so. Those contracts are going to clear. The star player is going to come in. The young guys are going to come in. What Anthony said before, and this, it took a long time to get back to this point, but I don't think we're at a rebuild. I think all but our star forward is already in play. Now it's a question of clearing and making space for that. I think we're missing one or two pieces. We're going to need a good third line support, and we're going to need a fourth line maybe support guy to come in too. But other than that, the defensemen are in place. The core is in place. One star forward. I'm not saying the rebuild is over, but it's just time. and time, acquisition and débarrassé STC.
And they got
to
play.
The hardest piece to get is the one we're missing, to me.
Yeah.
But okay, but hold up. How many first round picks do we have? How much do we have now? Our bank is kind of overflowing.
We have four in the next two drafts.
Yeah.
We have countless first round picks, and we have an abundance of really talented defensemen. And this is the kind of situation that Nashville fell into when they started making the push. They went and acquired PK Subban. They went and acquired all their forwards that they needed. They got a little bit lucky in getting Forsberg, but we're approaching a situation in which we're overloaded with picks and young prospects that are going to go and push us to get that star player.
If you're trying to acquire a star forward more than that's higher echelon than Suzuki and Caulfield, you need an Eichel situation. You need a situation with Matthew Tkachuk and Jonathan Huberdeau.
I think they have the assets, especially
with the drafting Leo Carlson and acquiring Cutter Gauthier. Those are two centermen. Unless Zegras is going off to the wing, which he could do with Montreal. And I hate bringing up the whole Trevor Zegras thing, but in my mind, in my own theory, it's becoming a lot more plausible. And they need defense, especially after getting rid of Jamie Drysdale. Something, it could happen. And if it's not Trevor Zegras, but it's somebody else that's closer in caliber to him, I'll be fucking happy as well. I'm not saying I want Trevor Zegras, but I'm just saying you need to find... Look how it wasn't working out for Kirby Dach because they weren't using him properly and they found other players to kind of replace him in a sense. You have to find another situation. Right now, off the top of my head, the only player I can think of in that similar situation is Trevor Zegras.
That's very rare.
But good GMs know when to fucking attack properly. Definitely not, but this is why
Eichel was there. Like, literally, Buffalo's Eichel's available.
I know, Joel. It was that fucking I think it was his contract as well. But who the fuck? Maybe he did try and he just never said, look, I tried to get him.
He probably told Buffalo's GM, if you want loyalty, get a dog, something stupid like that.
Okay. Joey, before we end off the topic on the whole going first circle for the Monahan trade. And then I have one more topic I'd like to discuss with you guys before calling it quits. Joey, this might make you feel better. Do you remember what the Canadians gave to the Arizona Coyotes for Christian Dvorak?
It was a first rounder. And I know that was involved for sure.
And you know what else was there? It was a conditional second round pick. Do you remember? Okay. So that conditional second round pick, okay. So the Canadians in 2021, September 4th, 2021, the Canadians traded their 2022 first round pick and their 2024 second round pick. Okay. The 2024 second round pick was not conditional. So they sent that to Arizona. Arizona sent that pick to LA. For Sean Durzi, okay. So now LA had our second round. Then LA gave that second round pick to the Winnipeg Jets, along with Gabriel Vilardi, Alex Yafalo, and Rasmus Kupari for Pierre-Luc Dubois. And now we have Winnipeg's first round pick this year. So basically, for all Habs fans out there, if you're still at this point, the first round pick that we lost for Christian Dvorak, we kind of got back with this trade of Monahan to Winnipeg.
I mean, yeah, it makes it more likely that Winnipeg is willing to give up the first now that they have an additional second. Like, they're also managing assets. So
I don't think it's an additional second. It was their only second.
Only second. So, yeah, it's probably harder for a GM to give a first if you do not have a second, in my opinion, or you don't have picks coming up. So that could have helped sway Winnipeg to accepting the deal or working that out with
you. I really think they were trying to get Colby Barlow or maybe Brad Lambert, but I'm not sure. They were asking for prospects that, like, those are the only two I can think of. Maybe there was another one that I really don't know of, but. And Joe, if that makes you, I think this should make it, this news should make you feel a bit better.
It sort of does. That first rounder still hurts, but yeah, okay, it's starting to. Once we get rid of him, I'll feel better.
One year left. So the Armia contracts, the Dvorak contracts, even the Savard contracts, 1 year left, boys. They're done after next season.
And then after that, I could start doing the countdown for three seasons.
But then we could discuss buyout terms and really debate about that.
My countdown starts this season after this for three years.
Financially, it does make sense. It makes a lot more sense for his contract. Cap friendly. Anybody could do this. And on the cap friendly website, they have the calculator tool of buying out contracts. We won't mention the name we're talking about. But if you look at the breakdown, how much the Canadiens would owe per season, especially with the cap hit going up every year, it's starting to make a little bit more sense financially. Yeah. Okay?
Patience.
Like this rebuild, this accelerated rebuild. So, boys, how do you feel about NHLers going back to the Olympics?
I'm excited. See, that is something I'm excited for.
Yeah.
Let's go back to what we started this conversation about, this podcast about the All-Star game, just, you know, for fun, and they're just playing for shits and giggles. This is pride. This is winning for your country. Yes. This is winning for a gold medal. And that's where the and I find there's going to be, my opinion, more passion in there than what we see at the NHL level.
Joey, before playoffs. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Anthony. Joey, do you think that World Cup of Baseball tournament that happened last year kind of influenced the NHL to go back to this route again? Because not just that. Sorry. Yes, the NHLers are going to the Olympics, but did you guys see the tournament that they're doing as well?
I would think there's more of an influence of doing a World Cup of hockey rather than the Olympics.
So I'm so happy. Joe, we were in Italy when the World Cup of Hockey was starting, right? It was towards the end of our trip.
2016.
That's right. We were in Italy that year, right?
Yeah.
And I remember, I think a couple of times we were watching Canada against the States, like when Shea Weber almost wanted to kill Max Pacioretty, his future fucking teammate. So, literally, I think it's great for the game of hockey. Anthony called it, you know, best versus the best. You're going to get actual passion, heart in this because it's representing your country, which is massive for European players. It's for team Canadians as well, especially now.
For Joel Armia, it's the biggest thing in his life.
For Joel Armia, that's his time to turn into fucking Timo Solani meets Wayne Gretzky. Anyways. So the four country tournament, it's Canada, the United States, Sweden, and Finland. And that begins in February 2025. They're going to split the games in Montreal, which we better fucking go, and Boston. And then the NHLers are going back to the Olympics in 2026 and even in 2030.
Sorry, 2025 is what, the World Cup of hockey?
It's not the World Cup,
but we'll call it a mini World Cup of hockey because you're missing teams like you're missing Slovakia, you're missing Czechia, you're missing Russia, you know. So, if you want to really go back to full circle, Anthony, and the lack of pride at the All-Star game, Nikita Kucherov.
Wow, what a fucking loser. Sorry.
You want Anthony?
I still haven't seen it, by the way. I didn't watch it yesterday.
He was just nonchalant.
That's what I heard. He's always like that, though. You have to accept
Anthony, can you please put – I really want you to hear this. I have a conspiracy theory for you.
Anthony, would you take him on your team?
Eyes closed. Eyes closed.
So I don't know if he wants to be nonchalant about because he you know he's being it's forced to go to the All-Star game.
It's not the
game,
point.
Right?
Okay, Sam, finish your point, and then I'll give you my opinion.
Yeah, but you know he's being forced to go to the All-Star game, right?
Sorry.
You know he's being forced to go, right? Or else he has to sit a game and he doesn't get paid. Yeah, if you don't go to the All-Star game,
you get fined and a suspension.
You get fined and you have to sit. I actually don't agree with that.
They did it to Ovechkin.
Yeah, I feel if you don't have any motivation to do something, you shouldn't be forced. I'm sorry. But to me, Bettman is looking at it as well. I want to make money. I'm sorry if I'm the player and I don't feel like that's something I want to do. I shouldn't be forced to do it.
I agree, but okay, finish your point, Sam.
But they owe it to the fans that pay money for this league.
You gotta look at it that way too. You know, like you're a millionaire.
I'm questioning it. I'm not saying they do.
I think it's both right, but he shouldn't be nonchalant about it. But him being forced, I don't think helped.
Okay. No, okay, agreed. Okay, I'll just say that. Okay, go, Sam.
So this is my conspiracy theory. It's just my own. Nobody else's. They announced the return of players going to the Olympics, and they announced this four-country tournament. And obviously, with all the shit that's still going on in the world, politically, with Russia, there's no mention of them joining or participating in these international hockey events. I think there's a 99.9% chance that Joey's right. He just didn't want to be there. I think that was some kind of a protest that Nikita Kucherov pulled off on the ice.
That's actually, I didn't think of it. Yeah, that's a very good.
I'm not saying he did. That's why he did it. I'm not in his head. There's a very good chance, like Joey said, like, look, man, I don't want to be here. Okay. Whatever. I don't know. Just there's something that's just telling me. It's just I don't know if it's a gut feel, instincts. I don't know what the fuck it you want to call it.
I'd believe it more, Sam, if it was another player, but this seems to be like Kucherov's character. Mm-hmm. I feel he's come off as a type. Like if he doesn't give a shit, he doesn't give a shit. And
you might be 1,000% right.
If this was something like someone like Ovechkin, I'd believe that more. Because Ovechkin, no matter what he does, he gives 100%.
Of course. I could be wrong, but it is something
that I haven't thought of, and I think it's very valid to bring across for sure.
So all that to say is with these international tournaments, and I think more than anything, if you send these NHL players to these international tournaments, like there's a lot more spotlight in a positive way on the NHL than these All-Star weekends. Especially now with the way they are. So I don't know why the NHL does. Everybody, how you have the World Cup and the Euro Cup every 4 years, but they play in between one another.
Yeah, every 2 years, basically.
Every two years. So why doesn't the NHL allow this for these players? And there's a lot more to talk about within it.
You know
where I'm going to go with this. Every 2 years. You have the Olympics.
Four. It's just every two. There's a tournament. It's still every. There's four.
You have the World Cup of hockey, which the last time they did in 2016, in my point of view, was a massive success.
They play more games, Sam. Remember, hockey plays more than soccer.
But when you do that, when you do the World Cup of hockey, you do it in August, mid September, and you reduce training camp games or off or preseason games.
Does Batman get paid for this?
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised. He gets paid for everything.
I don't think he does, hence why he doesn't allow this to happen.
Yes, but you put all these guys belong to the NHL. Whatever they make, the owners, whatever they make in terms of sales, whether it's international or even just buying their jerseys on the NHL, just because, oh my God, fucking Connor Bedard is on Team Canada. They may not buy a Bedard jersey, but fuck, they'll buy a Chicago Blackhawks jersey. Money goes to the Chicago Blackhawks owner, and that part of that money goes to Bettman. It's a vicious cycle. But all that to say is, if it puts a positive spotlight on the NHL, Bettman's going to benefit from it anyways.
Sam, I think to do it if they reduce, and we always talk about it, if they reduce the amount of games. They play 82 minimum. Soccer, the worst teams like play maybe 45. It's literally half.
So
the worst teams, the best teams play like 60.
So in all honesty, if you do put these players into the Olympics, or in this case, even this four-country tournament, then you have to reduce the NHL schedule.
I always said 60 to 65 games.
You do it during those years, and there then that and then no, that
you one. Don't change it though. You don't change it. The year that they have nothing, you don't go back to 82. It's 60.
So you give them these teams what a 2 week bye instead of 1 week.
Yeah, or you can just finish the season earlier. Like instead of finishing in June the cup, you could finish in May.
Probably. Yep, you're onto something. I think.
I mean, we had to me. Well, I don't know if it was the best year because we didn't play all the teams, but I found teams were able to give a lot during the COVID year because they only played how many games was it?
It's like 57.
Yeah, 57, whatever. To me, 60, yeah, 65 is the perfect amount.
Yeah, but that year is the year that destroyed Weber and Price, and even well, Paul.
They were already, Sam. They were already. I think they're already destroyed.
To be honest. Yeah, but that put an official stamp on their retirement.
Yeah, I know, but it whether it came that year or another year, it to me it was gonna eventually happen. I just think if you're gonna do that tournament, you got to reduce the games because I think 82 is too
some much. Way somehow. Yes, they do. I agree.
At the end of the seasons, you have to see all these bad teams the way they're playing and that have no shot at playoffs. You have to see just how they are. It's just I don't know.
Reverse it. These teams that are playing well, they're not sure if they're gonna want to send their superstar to go play.
Well, don't they take a break when they play the tournaments? They always break.
Sure, they break. But it's like, fuck, let's say Colorado's like, well, we need Nathan MacKinnon healthy because we need... is Rantanen Finnish?
He's finished, yeah.
Yeah, fuck. Well, we need MacKinnon. We need Rantanen.
I don't know about that, about the control of if you can keep the player. Like, I'd be very surprised if...
I don't know that either. But I'm saying, like, if I were a general manager, like, I'd be shitting my pants every time they step on the ice playing.
Yeah, of course. But I don't think... I don't know. I don't think they have the choice, though. I think they actually go.
All that to say is I'm happy... The NHLs are going back to the Olympics. I'm happy there's another international tournament coming up. This is what we need. This is what the NHL needs as well. Because all those times when there was when they were going to the Olympics, like the best times, honestly, like if you look at from 2010 up until 2018, or the last time they stopped going to the Olympics, that was some of the best hockey we've seen. When Price won the gold with Crosby, Weber in 2014, 2015 was a great year. 2016, the World Cup of Hockey was amazing with all the teams. That Team Europe, you had North America, which was all the young guns on the team. Like you had McDavid, you had Matthews, you had Eichel, you had MacKinnon, you had Johnny Gaudreau. Like for the next generation of players, like you put a team like that together, it's like. That's where you'll get the best hockey. I agree with that, Anthony. I think that's where the passion could come back as well.
If they have a World Cup, I hope they actually play some games here in Montreal.
Oh, it would be sick.
Yeah, I hope. Not like, say the rest off pod, but not like some other sport. So.
What's this other sport?
Well, the World Cup.
World Cup of soccer.
Oh, my God, yeah.
They had the announcement today. I can't talk further.
But we knew this already.
Angered me because today they told the cities of what games are being played. But
I'm so happy the World Cup is in Jersey. So hopefully.
As soon as you stop hit recording, Sam, I will let it out before I leave.
Good. No problem at all. But that's all I got to say about that.
Before we end it, I just want to go back to the Kucherov thing. Mm-hmm. I agree with what you said, Joey, about, you know, like it's not fair that they're being forced and they lose money. I get all that and I agree with that statement. But if you're there at this point and you have no choice, there's fans that spend a lot of money, especially kids, coming to watch you. Now, I get you're angry. Put your fucking pride aside. Put your ego aside. Not pride.
It's hard when you're being forced. It's hard, like mentally, to me. I've been forced into things.
I understand that, but you're a fucking multi-millionaire superstar. People buy your jersey. You get these NHL players will be nothing without these fans. Okay, so I'm sorry, but if I'm like a 21-year-old and I'm playing for the NHL, I'm playing for the pride of my logo, and I have these fans coming and watch me all the time, buying my jerseys, and that's what's getting me fucking paid every day. Especially a Kucherov. You're not a Victor Mete. Okay, that. No one buys your jersey, okay? Only me.
Oh, not anymore.
He probably got his jersey,
paid all his royalties, okay? Anthony.
He probably got some royalties based on me, okay? But Kucherov, a lot of players did. And I'm sorry, but you're there, you know, honoring your team, honoring the players. The way he performed was just disgusting to watch. Okay, like, I get it. You're angry or you're forced. You don't want to be there. But show a little bit of love, a little bit of passion. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you're an NHL superstar. You're not a nobody.
This is the first time, right? He's done this. He's been to many All-Star games. Yeah, that's kind of weird about this.
This is the first time he's done. Yeah.
So it's not like it's his first All-Star game and he's doing this. He's been to many and we never heard anything before. No, that's what I find odd.
So maybe Sammy is right about what he, like, his conspiracy. But still, I just don't find that was right. That's my opinion. But
I think it's wrong. I honestly think it's wrong on both ends. I don't think he should have done it, and I don't like if he's being forced. So I don't like.
Oh, and I agree with that statement 100%. But now that you're there and you're forced to be there, I'm sorry,
you should. Yeah, you should.
Fuck
you
up and do it. You know,
you
like,
should show effort for sure.
It's what two? It's 2 hours. It's 2 hours of your life. You're a multimillionaire. All these people have to go back home to work. You're going back at your fucking mansion and just gonna.
You never know how people are, Anthony. They could be athletes making multimillionaires. I'm not gonna make it into a psychology episode, but you never know what goes on with them. You don't know if they're happy, sad. So yeah, up here people don't know. Really, you don't know. I think you're probably right. He probably just didn't give a shit. But there's that 1%. You don't know. Something's bothering him. Something happened.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, hope you enjoyed what you hear. Happy that I got to be on an episode with Joey.
Not much arguing. When they start playing again, though, we'll definitely argue.
Exactly. If you guys like what you hear, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Wow.
TikTok.
Twitter, now called X, not Instagram. If you'd like to see our beautiful faces, you can subscribe and like our YouTube page.
It's free.
Give us an honest rating. It's what's going to help us grow and give you better content. And that's it, ladies and gentlemen.
Tuesday night, against the Washington Capitals. In Washington.
Actually, we should make a new social media called TikTok.
Well, before at the beginning of this episode, I said that Instagram is now called X. I don't know why that came up. But awesome. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, have a good week, everybody. Happy Monday. If you're listening to this, it's Monday. Until next time. Bye now.
Bye now. Bye now.